Take your Bibles now and turn to James, if you will, chapter 1. We want to spend the next few Sunday nights in the book of James, three or four messages. And we want to deal with the question, are you a mature Christian? Are you a mature Christian? We're not necessarily talking about age here, obviously. But James 1:4, if you'll look at that verse, he says, but let patience, James 1:4, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants us to be mature Christians. Now the word perfect here, and that primarily is the theme of the book, that you might be perfect. But the word perfect here does not mean sinless, that you're never going to do anything wrong again. We know that we all fall short of the glory of God. We know that if we say we have no sin, 1 John tells us we're liars, that we do fail, and we're not always going to do the right thing. But the idea in the book of James is that we mature, that we become mature Christians, or full-grown Christians. That's what God wants out of us, that we become full-grown mature Christians. Obviously, it starts with being saved. And then we go from there. I believe that most church problems that I have observed over the years are caused by underdeveloped Christians. Christians who have not matured in the things of the Lord. I believe that Christians should grow. I think that's part of God's will for our lives. If you'll look at Ephesians chapter 4 just a second. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Here's what God says to us concerning the fact that we should grow. He says in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature man or person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. God does not want us to remain children or immature Christians, tossed to and fro. And that's what happens to those who don't grow up in the Lord, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's amazing what some people get involved with that have been in good Bible-believing churches for years. I never cease to be amazed at it. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He's saying, I want you to come to unity of the faith, maturity in the Lord. That is God's will for His children after we're saved, to grow and to continue to mature. That's one reason that every believer needs a local New Testament church. You see, the church was organized and ordained by God, and He made no accident in doing that. And so God ordained the local church so that you could come and be taught and be led and be trained in the things of God, preached to by the pastor and teachers and others that God has given that responsibility and perhaps those gifts to, so that you can grow in the Lord. And everybody needs a local New Testament church where they attend regularly, they are involved, and they begin to grow in the things of the Lord. God ordained that church for our growth. Now, you're not going to get all your growth here on Sunday. You need to go the rest of the week and spend some time in the Word of God and prayer and all of that. A little dab of do you on Sunday is not going to make you mature in the Lord. We've got to go on and grow and grow and really get serious about it and spend some time with God every day of our lives. Now, I think that we have to understand that there is a legitimate babyhood. Be careful, Christian, about new converts being too condemnatory about them. Just remember, they're little babies. They've just come into the family of God. We don't need to tell them off or criticize them. We need to love them. We need to give them space to grow. We need to teach them. We need to train them. We don't want to compromise, but we need to be patient, just as you parents would be patient with a little infant, with a little child that was just born. And you know, you wouldn't say to a little baby, hey, straighten up, grow up. it's time for you to go out and take the garbage out. You're not going to say that because they're not at that level. We forget sometimes, I think, that new converts are babies in Christ. They need time to grow, but they should grow. All of us should always be growing. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. God wants those new converts to really desire and fall in love with the Word of God, to get the Word of God, and to grow because of that. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. They start off on milk. They don't start off on T-bone steaks. They get to that, but they don't start off there. At least we hope they do. Now, the question is this. Are you growing up? Are you growing up? Are you becoming more mature? Are you at a level after being saved for a number of years? Are you a mature Christian? And let me say that the test is for you and not for somebody by you that you're thinking about. Think about yourself. It's a test for you. It reminds me of the old preacher who had a guy that came to church often, and he would say, "Boy, preacher, you really let them have it today." And then he'd come out and he'd say, "Preacher, you really let them have it. I'm glad you let them have it." And that pastor sort of got tired of hearing him say that. He was thinking, "You need to be getting this too, you know." And so one day it snowed, and only the pastor and this guy was there. And they sang songs, and they sang a duet, and they prayed and took up an offering between the two of them. And the preacher preached, and when he got through, the man said, "Preacher, if they'd have been here today, you'd have really let them have it." And that's about the way it is. But this is for you. It's not, we can all think of other people and their faults, and other people and what they need. Let God speak to us tonight. Let God speak to you as an individual. And here's the first test that he gives us. And that is, how do I respond to my trials? Here's test number one. We'll talk about the other three as we go through this Sunday night series on it. But how do I respond to my trials? Look at verses 1 and 2. James 1, 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different kinds of temptations, or what he's talking about here primarily is trials. Now, why does God give us trials? Why does God allow us to have problems? We've talked about that on a number of occasions. But if you would, look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God says, I'm not opposed to you going through some trials, because the trials that you go through will teach you to have patience. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Glory in tribulations. Glory in trials, that's what he says. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, if anyone in the congregation tonight does not need patience, would the liar please stand up and confess it right quick? Would the dishonest person please stand up and say, "I don't need patience. Lord, please give me patience, and Lord, hurry up and do it." That's sort of the way we pray, isn't it? We sometimes blow our stack. You ever do that? You lose your cool. You give somebody a piece of your mind. You don't have much left, but you give them a piece of it. And we do that kind of thing. A preacher was talking about another preacher, and he said he was coming to an intersection, and he was trying to beat the other person to the intersection. And he said, "Man, I don't care who gets there first, as long as it's not a tie. That's not the important thing. We have to prefer others before ourselves." And so we have trials. But God is speaking to us and saying, "I want you to learn to have patience. I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to have patience." And one of the only ways you're going to learn patience is through the various trials. And I think all of us who've lived the Christian life long enough can say, "Yeah, that's right. That's what I've experienced. And God did work those things." Especially if we have matured. Now, the reaction to the trial, the reason for it, is patience. The reaction to the trial should be joy. He tells us that we ought to count it all joy. Look at verse 2. When you fall into different trials and troubles, count it all joy as you go into those. He didn't say complain, gripe, bellyache, question God, and do all of those things. But he said we ought to be pleasant even when we go into trials. As a pastor, I've seen some very mature Christians who have gone through some very serious and deep trials, and I've been amazed at the joy of the Lord that they have during those times. And I've also been amazed at some who I thought were out of their spiritual rompers to find out they really were not, and they really were not going through their trials very pleasantly. The Bible says we're to do it with joy. And yet some Christians are still in their spiritual diapers and they have not done that. A Bible conference speaker, just before going to Tokyo, he was in a car accident. He was going over there to speak, broke his leg. A missionary friend was with him when the cast was removed. When the cast was removed, he said, "Man, thank God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm glad this 8.5-pound cast is removed." His friend said, "I don't remember you saying anything about hallelujah and having the joy of the Lord when you broke your leg." We're supposed to do it as we go into the trial. You say, that's not logical. That's what God says. God says, as you go into the trial, my brethren, count it all joy as you go into the trial. Because God allows it and God has a purpose for it. And we're to thank God for it as we go into it. It's all right to thank God as we come out of it, but don't forget to thank God and look to God as we go into the trial. That's the biblical way to do it. And that's the reaction we should have. A man was fussing about his wife's food and raising Ned about it and complaining about it. And whenever she began to cry, he said, "Honey, I'm sorry." He had really ripped her and criticized her, and then she began to weep, and he said, "Honey, I'm sorry." You see, being sorry is a second reaction. The first reaction should have been the right reaction. That's not the best reaction, and the first reaction is always the test. Always, how do you respond first to those things? There was a man who took his lunch to work. His wife always fixed his lunch, and it should have been peanut butter and jelly, Dr. Barber. Peanut butter and jelly, heavenly food, manna. But instead, it was mustard and jelly. She was a little sleepy and got it mixed up. And he said, "Well, thank God, I'll eat it anyway." And then he reached for his thermos, and she had milk and water in it, but she forgot to put the coffee in there. Normally, there would be coffee. And so he said, "I thank you, God. I'll go ahead and drink it." Then he got on the phone when he had the first opportunity and called his wife, said, "Honey, are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'm okay." She said, "How'd you enjoy your lunch?" He said, "Well, darling, it's different." But he thanked God for it and didn't let it upset him. And that night he told her what really happened and they laughed about it. And she said, "I can remember when you would have really gotten mad. I can remember when you would have really physically abused me for doing such a thing. But you've gotten saved and matured in the Lord." And that's the way it really should be. Now, what is the resource? Well, look at verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men," how? "Liberally, and upbraideth not, is not going to reprimand you for it, and it shall be given him." What is the resource to have the ability to react to trials this way? The resource is prayer. God tells us that we need to be involved in prayer. That's the only way you're going to draw from the grace of God and get the grace of God in your life so you can go through those kinds of trials and tests that God allows. And that is a sign of maturity. The way we get God's wisdom for all of these things, and in the context he's talking about the trials and difficulties, is to get on our faces before God and ask for it. God will give us wisdom, and we need God's wisdom during those times. Now, what is the reward after the trial? Well, look at verse 12. There's the test. We're going to have trials. We're going to have difficulties. Do we enter them with joy, or do we gripe and complain and question God and let everybody know how bad it is and all of those things? There's nothing wrong with asking somebody to pray for you. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about really getting a negative attitude, really questioning God and all of those things. But if we do what God says, if we get on our face and get that strength and give God the glory and rejoice in the Lord no matter what comes our way, then we're going to be rewarded. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What he's saying is, if we go through the trial and we don't get bitter — I've known some people who've gotten bitter, quit on God, quit church, question God, all kinds of problems that would come in their life, but they wouldn't trust the Lord through it, and they got bitter. That's a sad thing. But God says, if you take all of the problems and all of the trials, and you have joy and you rejoice and you turn to the Lord for your strength, there is a crown of life left for you. And he talks about the praise that God would give to those who endure. God is going to commend those who endure. 1 Peter 1:7. He says that the trial of your faith — listen to this, folks — that the trial of your faith, the testing, the problems, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Did you know the trial of your faith is more valuable than gold? Gold perishes. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Folks, we're going to have problems, and God's going to allow those problems to come in our lives. How are you going to react to it? Are you going to get mad? Are you going to blow your stack? Are you going to question God? Are you going to be angry at someone? Are you going to get in the blame business and blame everybody for your problem and for what's going on in your life? Are you going to think that God is being cruel to you? Or are you going to accept it with joy? Get on your face before God, ask Him for the strength to endure, knowing that someday He'll give you a reward for doing that. You know why? Because it brings glory to Him. It brings honor to Him. And let me tell you, that will do a lot for your testimony. The other will hurt your testimony. This will help the cause of Christ. Are you a mature Christian? Well, how do you react to the trials that come into your life? That's a good question. The reason is patience. The reaction should be joy, no matter what. God doesn't qualify it that way. And then the resource is what? Prayer. God is our resource, and the reward is His appearing. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment. Have you reacted to the trials in your life? Maybe you're going through some tonight. Are you thanking God for it? Are you approaching it with joy? Are you a mature Christian? If you're a mature Christian, when you go through these trials, by God's grace, you'll have the joy of the Lord. You'll rejoice even as you go into it. You'll draw on the power of God. He's there for you tonight, friend. Some of you are going through trials. I know that. Some of you are going through difficulties, family, health, finances, I don't know what. But you see, God has a purpose. He's allowed those things, and He wants to bring glory to Himself through it. He wants to teach us patience, and He wants us to rejoice in the Lord. May God help you tonight. And also, sometimes, He allows that so that you can be saved, and then you can start growing in the Lord. If you're not saved, I hope you'll get saved tonight. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that the Word is so clear. I'm glad You've given us Your perfect book. And tonight, help us to take the test as a Christian and ask ourselves, not someone else, but to think about ourselves. Am I a mature Christian? Do I rejoice even as I go into trials? May you speak to our hearts. Lord, may we earn and merit not our salvation, but that reward when we are commended at the coming of Jesus Christ. I pray for those of our flock, of our family that are having trials, difficulties. Oh God, may you help them. May you undergird them. May they look to you. May you give them that peace and joy that only you can give. In Jesus' name we pray.